Translation. Sutta Goswami said, O son of Bhrigu, Sanaka Rishi, after Sukadeva Goswami, the most respectable devotee, the son of Vyasadeva, heard the pious questions of Maharaj Parikshit, he thanked the king with great respect. Then he began to discourse on topics concerning Krishna, which are the remedy for all sufferings in this age of Kali. Purport. First. Om Magyanti Marandasya Gyanam Jana Salakaya Chakshur Mirtam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Tetyanya Manopistam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakatam Vayam Tadati Svapadantikam Dichananda Vudanda Vasudha Prana Valava Jana Vijiva Tapati Krishna Prema Padapavu Patmavati Sutta Siman Sachinanda Puva Joba Vomako Yukatata Rakta Gora Klevara Namo Mahavariyaya Krishna Prema Padaya Te Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Trise Namaha Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vinda Vanishvari Frisabana Sutta Devi Pranani Haripi Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandha Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosta Te Namo Brahmani Devaya Go Brahmani Tai Jagatpate Tai Krishna Govinda Namo Namaha Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the words Krishna Charitam Kali Kalmasa Ganam indicate that the activities of Lord Krishna are certainly the greatest panacea for all miseries, especially in this age of Kali. It is said that in Kali Yuga people have only short lives and they have no culture of spiritual consciousness. Yeah. So it's said like in one of the most famous verses, and only one of the few I know, I remember, is that in this iron age of Kali, men have short lives. Men are short-lived. They're quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, and above all, always disturbed. So it is very rare for these fallen people of Kali Yuga to turn to Krishna consciousness. So we are only a few of them like that. Most people, they are not at all interested. And as it is said, it takes many millions of lifetimes before even they start inquiring about the goal of life like that. So what to speak about finding, asking better questions. And here, the king is thanked for good questions. Nothing is nicer for, like say, if you're on the street distributing books, or even if your family or at your work, or your neighbor, if he asks you a really good question, you know, about where you can really speak about a little philosophy. You know, no, what is this? What is that? Which is also nice. But, you know, something more deeper about, you know, about life, the goal of life, or about our philosophy and, what does it mean, the chanting, etc. Like that. Because there's nothing more enjoyable for a devotee to talk about Krishna, isn't it? Don't you find it most pleasurable? Like that. But like with your family, it's like if you're an Indian family, it's something different maybe. But from a Western family, most of them, they think you have become a little nuts or a little weird or a little, you've lost it a little. And then when years go by, when people start dying off, and then your brothers and sisters, and sometimes even your parents, they become more interested. I know a story of one godbrother, and also from another devotee, not a godbrother, who parents always like, and then when they got older, and then when the father was on the deathbed, you know, he wanted the Hare Krishna son to be next to him. Because he was the only one who could speak sense and could give him some relief in this time of distress. Because if everything is going well for you, if you're healthy and, you know, everything is nice, etc., then we don't want to hear about death and disease and things like that. But then when that take place, and when they're getting older and getting sick, then they remember, you know, your instructions that life, you know, is meant for, you know, to find out, well, what's the goal of life, and to inquire about God, who am I, who's God, what's my relationship, etc., etc. Like that. Can you all move up a little more to the left? It's so empty here. And just a little bit. Sorry. Move up a little. You too, please. Thank you. I'm very bossy, but to the left here. Yeah. Thank you. I like to see faces in front of me. A sore neck. So, like that. So old age, that's why old age is set. It's good for the human beings, because they start crying about life, you know, and wondering what happened to my body, you know, what happened to my health, etc., etc. And yeah, but many still, despite very old age, they still don't get it. And then when the doctor says, "Oh, you have only 3 months to live," then he says, "Oh, I'll give you £1 million if you can just prolong my life for another year, so I can finish up my whatever he wanted to finish," like that. So I continue with the purport. Therefore, most people, if go back, it is said that in Kali Yuga, people have, I've said it, if anyone is at all interested in spiritual culture, he's misled by many bogus swamis and yogis who do not refer to Krishna Katha. So you see posters of all kinds of yogas, you know. There's even a poster of Sahaja Yoga. And Sahaja, the term Sahaja, for those who don't know, is someone who takes spiritual life lightly, and they fake, you know, they so-called spiritual, but they do all kinds of material things. So it means Sahaja, which means he's a fake guru, a fake devotee. He's imitating like he's on a spiritual platform, but he's actually very mundane. So this is called Sahaja Yoga, like that. And they just take things from the Vedas, and they use it for their own aggrandizement, you know, either to get money or to become famous, like that. I was just, someone on the social media posted a link to a video of Dhamma Krishna Maharaj in a public place, and then an Indian gentleman, he asked a question about, he was talking about, what's his name with the big hair? Sai Baba. And, you know, like, so God incarnates at different times, etc., and is it possible that there is one amongst us now, etc.? And then, after a few questions and answers, finding out who he's talking about, then Dhamma Krishna Maharaj was saying that, you know, just to make a little statue appear, your hand, you know, what's the big deal? You can buy it for 10 rupees at Louis Bazaar or something like, you know, and then he didn't continue that, but I'm saying that. Then, you know, can you take away death? Just like one time, a magician was doing all kinds of tricks for Prabhupada, before Prabhupada, and all the devotees, wow. Then at the end, Prabhupada said, "And, you know, can you make death disappear?" No. Like that. I was in Vrindavan in March, and there was a magician on stage, and I was right there, and I could see, you know, he was lifting up a table. I don't know he did it, because I saw the table, and it was just moved, and he did all kinds of things, which, and I don't know why. But, you know, as some people, there's one person around on this planet at the moment who you know, I saw a video, then I don't know, but that he was looked like he could walk on the water. So, might be fake, might be real, because there is different cities. One is to become lighter, you know, as a feather, and one is more heavier as a mountain, and you can make things appear, you know. It's just like Srila Prabhupada gave the example of one of his teachers was saying that there was a yogi visiting, and he asked, "What would you like to eat?" And he said, you know, "What is your favorite food?" And he said, "A pomegranate." And then he went like, and you just had a cut off branch of a pomegranate tree with a ripe pomegranate. Just, you could see it was just cut off right now. And Prabhupada gave the example that yogis, that they take bath in all the rivers. You know, they just dip in and it goes very quick. Like that. So it's not that on this planet there are no mystics and no yogis who can't do that. But if they claim to be God, or if their so-called followers or disciples tell them, ah, Bhagavan, you know, then, and they don't say, no, I'm not. Just like Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning of our society, that at one point, four of the leaders were proclaiming that Prabhupada was actually Krishna or something like that. They became furious. He said, get them out! Kick them out of our society. I don't have anything to do with them. You know, and because that means, you know, we all gods. If the guru is God, then we're also gods. You know, it's Mayavadi. And anyway, especially a devotee. If you're a devotee, then, you know, you don't want to. If someone calls you God, it's already, you know, too much that they call you Prabhu or you know, like that, or Maharaj. But, you know, so what to speak about God. I continue. That's it. Srila Vyasadeva prepared Srimad Bhagavatam at the request of Narada Muni in order to give relief to the suffering people of this age. Kali Kalmasa Ganam. The Krishna conscious movement is seriously engaged in enlightening people through the pleasing topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. All over the world, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is being accepted in all spheres of life, especially in advanced educated circles. Srila Sukadeva Goswami is described in this verse as Bhagavat Pradhan, whereas Maharaj Parikshit is described as Vishnu Ratam. Let me just go back. Where is that? I see Vishnu Ratam, but... Oh, yeah, here. The chief. This is the chief amongst the pure devotees. And Vishnu Ratam is being prepared by the Lord. Prepared. How do you call that? Prepared. Yes. So the Lord, talking about being protected by the Lord, sometimes in our lives as devotees, aspiring devotees, we really sense that the Lord is taking care of us at sometimes, at certain times, and protecting us, giving us advice. And at certain times, it looks like he's not there, or he turned his back to you, you know, and it's, what is this? Hello, anyone there? You know, why is this happening to me? Like that. So sometimes you feel really like, if it feels, I'm just thinking of something and it's provided for, you know, which is very embarrassing. And other times you're praying for him to make something clear or to make an arrangement for your benefit, but not so much material benefit, but more for to do your service properly, you know, to get your service in order, etc. And like that, and then it looks like nothing happening, like that. So, and then you just have to accept it, you know, that the Lord, you know, like if you remember Lord Chaitanya saying, you know, you can make me brokenhearted by not being present before me, you still stay in my worshipful Lord. And that's ultimately, but just like Srila Prabhupada gave the example that in the war, all the women and daughters went to the church to ask, please let my husband, let my father return from the battlefield. And then when they didn't return, they thought, he doesn't exist. He didn't listen to my prayers, so he doesn't exist. What's the use of worshipping him if he doesn't fulfill my prayers? Sorry. So most people see God as a fulfiller of their desire, like a machine, you know, just a wish-fulfilling person. And if he doesn't fulfill your desires, then he doesn't exist. But the devotee And especially big devotees, great devotees, they how more you make advancement in Krishna consciousness, how heavier the tests become. Don't think it becomes easier. It becomes easy after, if with each test you everyone awake. Okay, if each in each test you see it as a test, and you try to understand and try and you accept it without resentment, and like that, and then you have passed that test, but then another test comes. And it's just like if you're from the kindergarten, you go to school, the exams become more and more, how you call that, more difficult to pass. You know, if you want to become a professor, or if you want to just go to the secondary school or university or whatever, you have to do more and more tests just for driving. You know, you just have one license, and then you need to have a bigger truck. You need another license and another license, like that. So it's with everything, and it's also the process of to become pure. Krishna gives you all kinds of tests. He gives you a test that you become sick, or how do you deal with it, or maybe your son dies, your husband runs off, your house burns down, and things like that. Things like, why? You know, what's the necessity for that, or et cetera, et cetera. But then, you know, and then you have to see it that don't become bitter and just see, you know, what is the Lord teaching me here? What do I have to do? And then you can inquire from other, you know, those devotees you think are more advanced than you. And you can inquire what you think this means. Say, for instance, you break your legs. You know, everyone awake? Yeah. What happens if you break your leg? You know, you can't do much service. But maybe then Krishna gives you time to read, you know, or do something with your hands, you know, or like that. Then instead of, oh, I can't do Sankirtan anymore, well, you can go in a wheelchair. I know a godbrother of mine, he had problems with his legs. And he went in a wheelchair, and one bhakta who was not so good in Sankirtan, he pushed him, but he was very good. And if you're in a wheelchair, you can even do better Sankirtan, because people are afraid to say no to you like that. I think he stayed longer in a wheelchair than was necessary. But anyway, so it's like that. But it's a bitter pill to swallow if things go bad for you. You know, we don't like it, isn't it? I like things to go smoothly. And I myself, you know, everything. And if things don't go smoothly, I go... And, you know, it's very rare that everything just goes perfectly. Just like I'm saying to people who take part in my theater, you know, in acting 40 years in our society, there's only 5 times I was pleased after the performance. Most of the time I'm frustrated afterwards. I thought, oh, if I see the video back, I go, oh. Or even during the play, I go, oh. And you know, only 5 times I go, wow, that was really good. Which I just have to live it. I have to accept it as a tapasya, as austerity. You know, and people say, oh, your life is so easy, blah, blah, blah. They don't know that, you know, I'm completely bald. I pulled out most of my hairs out of frustration like that. And it's with every service, either Sankirtan or cooking or working in the garden or working the cows. You know, anything can happen. Sometimes people talk bad of you and you're thrown out of your service. You know, and you sometimes people tell others that you stole, or that you lied, or that you did all kinds of things, and people believe them. And nothing is more painful than being accused of something you haven't done. For me, that is the most painful thing. They never accused me of theft, but of other things, maybe. And so like that. Or you're trying to do a service, you know, and then you're being criticized for it. openly in a class or like that. Things like that. All those things can happen. And it's just, why do you think this happened? Who can tell me? Give me some, why do you think this happens to you? Yes?
Envy.
Louder, huh?
Envy.
Envy? Okay, yes. Anything else?
As a test.
As a test, yeah. So for the living entities, for the devotees who do find fault in you or criticize you or accuse you of something you haven't done, sometimes they do that too because they're envious. But at the same time, and you might dislike that person, if you're pure as Maharaj Ambarish, you will just act like nothing happened. But if you're not that pure, you will feel the pain. And you might avoid the envious and not even look at them, just ignore them. Like that. If you're a great soul and you say, I have to get over that, then do that, you know. But if you can't, then you know, you can't. You cannot artificially do it. It has to be from realization that say, this is my own, I'm suffering, I must have done this in my previous lifetime myself. So in this way, Krishna has placed me in this position. I must have accused someone, myself in my previous life, of something, and so now I'm suffering. So if you have this realization, if something bad happens to you, then you become peaceful, isn't it? And like that, and that is the aim of Krishna consciousness. Is like, you know, we start as a piece of coal, black. And we are being, how do you call that, grinded and polished. And Jai Malochi, Ki Jai, Hari Hari Bol. And then, you know, we're being polished. And that polishing, that hurts. And that is not so pleasurable. But then, ultimately, you come out shiny. You know, like that. And that's the goal. You become purified, and you see. So the devotees who takes this austerity, that they make a quick advancement. While those who become resentful, they stay on that level, or they go away. They turn away. They can't take the heat. They say they can't take the heat. Huh? English expression. So, and those. Because you don't think that you're the only one who's suffering. Everyone here is suffering. Someone is suffering with their body. Someone has everyday pain in their hips. Someone has pain every day in their neck. Or someone has pain every day from their children. Someone has pain every day from their parents or from their husband or wife. Which makes their lives miserable, you know. And they think, let me stay with him, you know. I want to be a good grihastha, you know. But so we're all suffering more or less. And those who are free of suffering, there's only two classes of man. And it's the pure devotee and the fool. So if you think you're free of suffering, then all glories to you. But most of you, you're foolish if you think you're if you're free of suffering. Sorry to say, because it's not true. Every time, oh, it's too cold, it's too this, it's too that, it's too ow here, ow there. Miserable. And that's why the Srimad Bhagavatam, as it said here in this Srimad Bhagavatam, where it says here, I can't find it now. And that, you know, that the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, it's like, it gives light, you know, it shines with the torchlight of knowledge. You know, it just gives you the knowledge, and it gives you the stories of those kings, of those women, of those Vaishnavs who went through extreme difficulty and overcame it and became glorious at the end. And just like Srila Prabhupada, an example, you know, heart attack, you know, another heart attack. I went to tell you a story. For those who followed me on social media might have known it. I was invited by Calcutta for the 50th anniversary to perform 5 songs with a video background. And they paid for my ticket, which was great. And Calcutta is nice. I've been once in Calcutta, but to be at the event, it would be great. You know, everyone would be there. So I went, I had a plane, and a cheap ticket. So I had to stay in Abu Dubai for 4 or 5 hours in the airport. So that's all right. You know, I rested and I chanted some rounds. And then, but I was supposed to perform the next day. They were supposed to book my ticket earlier, but just the day before, and I was due to arrive at 10 o'clock at night, which means I was going to be brought to a hotel at 11. It's just an example which a devotee can go through. And so I was in the airplane. Normally, I'm always at the aisle or at the window, but there I was in the middle, which I very, you know, being tall was not comfortable. But anyway, so in Abu Dhabi, Dubai, there were 2 devotees who got on the plane for the next flight, and one of them knew me and had been in a drama class in Dubai, which I gave the other year. And his ticket was upgraded, and he said, "Would you like to sit in the business class?" I said, "No." He said, "No." And then I went on the plane, and I was just sitting 5 seats behind him, you know. And then he was there, and he said, Then I thought, you know, then I can rest out, because those chairs, they decline, right? So I said, okay, I see it as Krishna's arrangement. Thank you, Krishna. You know, then immediately something happened. Thank you, Krishna. You know? And then, so I was sitting there. I put the seats up, put there. I was relaxed for, you know, I could have a rest. Then I arrived on the airport. Luggage gone. Luggage didn't arrive. I had to wait for another hour, you know. Then I went in a room. It was damp. It was the rainy season. The room was damp. There was one devotee sitting in there, and there was another devotee coming, and it was really damp. And I didn't have anything. I didn't, you know, there was only 2 towels, so I slept in 1 towel, and I washed my kurta to get at least a clean kurta in the morning, and I hanged it up, and then I woke up after 4 hours, and I felt the kurta was still wet, so I put the blow heater on, and I dried it, so I put it on, went to the temple, and I asked for some clean clothes. I didn't shave. I thought, and I got some clean clothes, completely unwrinkled. Then I had a sound check. Went perfect. Then I started to perform. Now, then I was unshaved and wrinkled clothes. And those who know me, I'm always trying to look paka. So I thought, this is Krishna's test to me. He wants me to become detached from how I look. Okay, I go on stage, unshaven, wrinkled clothes. So I perform, the music starts, and I hear my own voice. They play the wrong video with my voice on it. It's the one I showed them what I could do. So I said, "Sorry, wrong. Can you please stop? Can you put the other one on?" And while I was doing that, while I was singing, people start going right in front of me, bringing chairs on the stage. I said, "Please, excuse me, can you stop bringing these chairs on the stage?" Then these things happening. So I said, "Can you..." You know, and he couldn't find the videos, the map. So I just had to go off stage. Then they said, "Oh, we do something else." And then I went back on again. So then afterwards, I performed. Then Bhakti Chirushwami was there, and he came on the stage, not on the stage, beside the stage, and he gave me a big hug. And he said, "Oh, what great, wonderful, this and this." And then 2 days later, he said, "Prabhu, next time you go on the stage, you should dress a little better." I had to giggle, you know, and I said, "Maharaj," I told him what I said. So I had this state of mind that, you know, Krishna, you know, I thought, so what should I do then the next time? Should I make a fuss? I need an iron. I need, you know, like that. But I didn't know anyone. The person who invited me, you know, didn't answer his phone, and I didn't know anyone. I couldn't be heavy with anyone. You know, they all were busy. So I thought it was Krishna's arrangement. So I thought, should I be? And now I think, well, but you said that I should. No, I have to look smart. And also, they had big videos right on top of me with big screens. So I thought, 16,000 people, they're far away, no one sees me even, you know. They see the big screen. I told them also, don't put the the light on me, put them on the screen. I want to look at, because I made nice videos of Prabhupada and Krishna. I don't want you to look at me, just like that. So then Radhanath Swami gave a class, and he was talking about all the hardships of Srila Prabhupada, you know, about the seasickness, because he had been on this tour with Bhakti Swami on this cruise, and then, you know, and he felt seasick, and it was horrible. And he said, you know, Prabhupada felt that, you know, I've never felt seasickness, so I don't know what it is. So it was horrible, and then a heart attack, and then just, and he was, all these things, you know, he goes in the fridge, and next to his boga is a chicken, and then this drug crazy hippie, you know, chasing him out, and he's go out in the street and in the middle of nowhere in the winter, and all these things. And then I thought, my gosh, and I was thinking I was suffering, and I thought, it's just peanuts. I felt so embarrassed. I thought, you know, and I'm complaining about this and that, and it's nothing. So like that. So if anything happens to you, please remember this, that it's a test. And even if you treat it, if they accuse you of theft, of murder, even Krishna is being accused of theft and murder. And just try to see why is this happening to me? And what can I learn from this situation? I just want to finish the last sentence off. Oh, yeah. So both words bear the same meaning. Bhagavat Pradhan and Vishnuratam. Maharaj Parikshit was a great devotee of Krishna, and Sukadev Goswami was also a great saintly person and a great devotee of Krishna. Combined together to present Krishna Katha, they give relief to suffering humanity. Anartupasanam sakshat bhakti yoga madhok saje lokasya gyanato vitvam chakre sattva samhitam. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. People in general are unaware that the message of Srimad Bhagavatam can give all of human society relief from the pangs of Kali Yuga. Yeah, I repeat that one time more. People in general are unaware that the message of Srimad Bhagavatam can give all of human society relief from the pangs of Kali Yuga. Kali Kalmasa Gnam, including us. Any question or comment?